I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the month of March, and this month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Trey Barrera, Conrad, Luke and Sarah, Dave Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins Goes, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Yellow Jackets. This time, season 2, episode 1. It's party time. Bear down. It's here.
Get ready for your friends, your Romans, and your fellow countrymen.
Indeed. Yes. Couple of business news just to start things off. You might notice things are a little different in here. If you're watching on the YouTube, we reinvest the money that the patrons give us. That's right, damn it. We got a whole bunch of new toys in here,
including new microphones. So even if you are listening to the pod on Spotify or iTunes or wherever the hell else you get podcasts, you might listen. The timbre of our voices might be slightly different. Hopefully better.
Hopefully.
Hopefully better.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Hopefully I sound smarter.
Yeah.
I hope they filter my dumb ideas into good ones. This microphone, do they do that? Is that technology available?
There's a filter for that. Yes.
Good, yeah. good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Elon Musk. See, if the filter works, what they will hear is Tim Cook.
right. Yeah.
Also, we got some new merch in the merch store.
Hell yeah.
Yellow Jackets themed. Our esteemed partner, West River Printing, has come up with some great mock-ups. There's a Yellow Jackets jacket. It is, in fact, a yellow jacket. And probably my favorite shirt they've ever created.
Sick.
I love it. I will be purchasing it post-haste.
Yeah, yes. That shirt really speaks to the talent that they got over at West River Printing Company, because we gave them no input at all. We were just
literally none.
Make whatever you want, whatever feels cool to you. And then they came back with that design, which is just so fun.
It was really cool.
That's how we're going to be doing it in the future.
Yeah.
Just no input from us.
If you're a fan of the game Cuphead, it's like that art style, but Yellow Jackets theme.
That's a good reference.
It's so cool.
Very good reference.
So cool.
So that is available as we speak. You can follow the links in all of our social bios. Also, it's in the show notes, I believe, and it'll be on the YouTube and the bio stuff there.
Absolutely.
If you don't know where to find the merch store, but yeah, we're very excited to continue our Yellow Jackets coverage. Look forward to our coverage of Twister. If you're a patron, that's over on patreon.com/streamingthings. That was the voted movie of the month for March. There'll be a new April poll coming out soon. Mm-hmm. And also later in the week, we're finally going to be covering Class Action Park,
finally,
which is another patron tier demand. And we'll be, those are all on the main feed, though. We'll be knocking those out over the next few months. We're talking Train to Busan. We're talking
Grind. Tombstone.
Yes.
Ooh.
A Night at the Opera.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Inception.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Mind blowing.
There's a lot.
Dreams within a dreams of a dream of a podcast. That's what we're talking about over here. So even if you're not the biggest Yellow Jackets fan, well, I assume you wouldn't be hearing this then. That's a terrible plug. But there's other shit going on. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And what we'll be doing after Yellow Jacket season two, we don't know. But Madison, we've been getting a lot of feedback about your performance on this show.
It's shit. I know.
they've got notes. People have been gushing. Love Madison. Bring her back.
My heart.
Maya Thank Hawk. You. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Constantly.
That was very sweet. Thank
it was.
You.
We saw you on the YouTube there.
Thank you.
I just want to throw that out there. People really appreciate your presence here on this show. And we noticed. We knew already. But we're glad that everybody else sees what we see. So thank you for joining us here. No,
thank you for having me.
We appreciate your company.
Hopefully I can stay a little longer after Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, maybe.
Madison, maybe. You have
to. Too busy.
You had some very big shoes to fill in taking up the mantle after Andy.
Literally, size 13.
Literally, size 13. You're wearing them right now.
I am. They're quite big.
She's stuffed, but she's filling them.
Yes. But listener, I want to point out something. If you do miss Andy and you miss his presence, fear not. He's going to be with us then for the remainder of our Yellow Jackets coverage, because that theme you just heard, that fire kick-ass theme that we're debuting, Andy made that himself.
That's Andy shredding.
So whenever you hear that, it's like he's a part of the podcast again.
He is here. He is here.
Yep. He's just like, it's like him whispering into your ear.
Wait.
I'm Andy.
Guys, here? I think that was Andy.
Oh.
Harry Potter. Whatever. I don't know. Whatever Andy would say.
Heath bars are good. Get out of here, Satan.
That's right. Heath bar fan himself. Yep. That's Andy just tickling those ivories, except they're strings. He might have tickled ivories. I don't know what he did.
You don't know what he does.
I don't think he made those noises. But let's get right in, guys. We're back already, and it's only been a little bit because we just rewatched season one. But we've been waiting some years, Madison and I, at least,
for this
Yellow Jackets action. See where things are going to go. So what we're going to do, if you're new to the show, we're going to go through our overall thoughts, mostly spoiler free on the episode, just kind of our impression after finishing it, and then we'll do a play by play, scene by scene recap and reaction to the episode itself. And we'll cap it all off with some fun little games that we play. By the way, the names of these segments were all sent in from various listeners. A couple of people had the same idea, but they were great because we hadn't named the segments yet in our season one coverage. So our top three favorite moments, we're going to call our choice cuts, as in the meat that they eat. You know what I'm saying?
Give me the meat. And give it to me raw.
Whoa. Madison was so happy about that.
I know.
Apparently, you have to really turn that sucker because that microphone
is heavy. That in. Yeah, it's a heavy mic.
Jeez.
Madison, don't get hot.
I was like, the podcast ghost just totally fucking with me.
That was Andy.
Yeah.
Fill this. Well.
Ooh.
Nostalgia. That's a reference to a show later in the week. Mm-hmm. Our Easter eggs that we find, references to the 90s. We're going to call that our honeycombs. Mm-hmm. And then our favorite.
Sweet. They're delicious. They're Easter eggs.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. Thank you, Steve. That's where all the goodness is.
Mm-hmm. You ever had a honeycomb?
Mwah. It's a cereal. Yeah. And then
delicious.
Our favorite performance of the episode, we're going to call our buzzworthy performance.
Buzz.
Damn right. That's it. Choice cuts, honeycombs, and buzzworthy performance. That's how we'll end the episode.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who wrote in suggesting episode or theme titles.
Yes. Excellent ideas, because we were just cashed out of good ones because we hadn't had these microphones yet. Now, season two, episode one, titled Friends, Roman Countrymen. Madison, what were your overall thoughts?
I was so hyped to watch this episode. I remember I got off work on Friday and I immediately turned on Yellow Jackets. I was so pumped. And I loved this first episode. I thought it was a great starter to the second season, especially, you know, after just watching it. I mean, again, maybe it was because we recapped the first season, but I was ecstatic. I loved it all. I thought it was really great. I'm going to continue my three like short sentence, but it's kind of like no spoilers, but just in three sentences. But I have Haunting 101, no Wi-Fi, just discretion, and then Stone Age TV. But no, it was so good. I thought the humor was super spot on. It was a great balance of the spookiness with the reality. And it just got me super pumped for the rest of the season. So yeah, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. That's all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what did you think?
I agree with Madison. This was a really, really fun episode. This episode really kind of, you know, it set the stage for what we're going to maybe see going forward with the season. It was a good transition from the end of last season, but also there was a lot of fun to be had. There's a lot of great stuff with Misty that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Nat has some really great moments. It just really is just one of the, just a very fun show to watch. And I'm very, very happy to be sharing this with you. And in no small part, because I don't know if you guys know this, but my film debut is in this episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
I play Steve the dog.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I knew that was going to get brought up.
I was so hyped when that dog's name was Steve.
I was
typing notes. And then when she's like, we'll take Steve the dog. I'm like, huh? I was literally a dog where I did the whole like head to like, Steve?
Yeah.
You? Me?
Steve? Me?
Yeah, the Discord was blowing up.
That's awesome. Steve!
Chris, what'd you think?
I'm with you guys, man. I love this show. They didn't skip a beat. It was so fun. They're starting to tie up some mysteries, but they're asking more questions than they're answering, and I'm all in for it. And if anything, I think that they're gearing this up to kind of top the first season in audacity in a lot of ways, which is like, I'm all for that because I'm just no boundaries, you know, like do it.
Do it.
Show me. I'm Morpheus. And there were some things I was a little like, not in a bad way, but very surprised. Like there's some characters that I feel like they set up to be the big bad in season one that are apparently quite benevolent. And we'll talk about that really soon. And that threw me for a loop in a good way. If anything, I always want to be thrown for a loop in a show like this, but I love these characters so much. And I love the performances. Like I really think my favorite pairing is Natalie, you know, like Sophie Thatcher and Juliette Lewis. I think it's just, they seem like the same person and I love them both so much. But of course, Misty, Samantha Hanratty, Christina Ricci.
I think they're the two that seem like the most like each other.
Yeah, that's true. They're synced up for sure. And I love them. So we stand a Misty here, even though she's terrifying.
I do want to say
Misty Wiggs were a big hit.
They were a big hit. I was just about to say, like, you guys, you look different to me now. I mean, the images of both of you as Misty is burned into my brain. Like I can't see you in your normal outfits anymore. It feels weird. It feels wrong.
I still see you in your Misty Wiggs. And I will forever.
Yeah, she's just picturing it.
Yeah. You with the little curl pushing back.
I know. I was watching the video like, damn, it looks like I'm selling it, but it really was just in my eye.
Yeah, those wigs were like very obstructive.
I'm highly effeminate anyway, but when that wig was on, I just felt like.
You felt pretty.
Like I was slaying.
You were slaying. You were. You were all slaying.
Queen, you were.
Queen.
Queen B.
Yeah.
That could have been a good name for the favorite performance too. Anywho, so are we going to, can I talk about the title or is that more of a honeycomb?
I think you should talk about the title, but also talk about what I think is a threat that you got from Showtime. Oh, yeah.
So Showtime sent me in the mail. It was just like a postcard with three symbols, one of which was rope that said friends, Romans, countrymen. And I just opened that letter and was like, okay. And we thought maybe they were threatening me to cease and desist or something like
that. Yeah, because it just looked like they're like, here's a drawing of a noose and a letter. Like you keep writing letters, your head's going in this noose.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we didn't know what that meant until the first episode's title. Well, I think Madison knew. You said that's one of the episode's titles, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The first episode, it turns out. But it's called that. I thought it was clever. Friends, Romans, countrymen is, of course, a famous quote. From Mark Antony in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. And he speaks it at Julius's funeral. But the rest of that quote is, lend me your ears, which is, they chose that for.
Wow. That's awesome. That's so cool.
So I was a Shakespeare nerd in school. So I chuckled. at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the show starts off in 1996. It's the forest. We meet back up with the girls, but it's in winter. Like there's like some thick snow at this point. Mm-hmm. And the cabin almost looks cozy in all that snow. You know, it looks toasty in there. You can see the light of the fire through the windows. Mm-hmm. But we know it's not
chestnuts
so.
Could have been roasting.
You no know. Chestnuts are roasting, though. We know that.
Mm. Maybe have, ears.
Yes.
I liked the little detail of they were using the moss to block the wind from coming in. Oh, to like
insulate it? Mm-hmm. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
What good, a clever thing to do with moss.
Good nod to the production design there.
Yeah, very nice. All the girls are asleep by the fire, but Thaisa is tied to Van. So that's their solution to her nighttime romps. How sweet of Van to offer
so
that.
Sweet.
Shackle to me. Our hearts are shackled anyway.
You're my ball and chain, but you're just my rope.
Sure, you wake up and bite me sometimes, but that's all right. It's better than what you do to yourself. And Lottie's awake before anyone. She's out. I don't know. I think she's just staring at a window or something. I can't remember. Yeah. And Natalie and Travis are bundling up to go hunting. They're like stuffing magazines and shit. I don't know what kind, where they get those. Are there's like
probably the Playboys.
The porn.
Oh, yeah.
Stuffing the porn.
There's
the forest porn.
I already read all the articles anyway. Let's just use these to warm up. I get it. And then Lottie gives them a magical blessing. And Natalie's like, "What? This Wicca shit's not even doing anything anyway. This Wicca bullshit." And she's like, "You return home alive each time, do you not?" She's a Jedi now.
Lottie changes the way she speaks to be the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is no do. There is no try. Either do or do not.
Lottie, that's But she like puts
Why
her own
Lottie
blood on
like
him
that?
And shit.
I think she's losing
Everyone
her mind.
Everyone wakes up, it's like, Lottie's doing her weird Yoda voice.
So she's like fully adopted this persona, like so that she knows these little spells and stuff now. So they haven't discovered any food in a long time, but Lottie's correct. They do return alive. And then she draws the symbol on the window. We've all been there when there's a foggy window pane. You want to make a smiley, or if you're a true adventurous spirit, a dick and balls.
Yep.
But
it's
no,
always a dick and balls.
She draws the she draws the rune. And then we cut to 1998, another new timeline. And this time it's footage of the girls' return after mm-hmm. they were rescued, getting off the plane. Everybody's kind of ducking and dodging and diving the cameras. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Except... Misty
looks very happy.
She's like, ooh, cameras.
Hello.
Hi, me.
It's me, Misty.
Sorry, I haven't done my hair in a while.
The survivor from, this crazy plane crash. Yeah.
I like the touch of how they put them all in like black track suits with their hoods up to try to, you know, protect their anonymity.
But also the reporters are asking, who survived? Who survived? So it's like, nobody actually knows. Like, the press doesn't know who's alive.
Yeah, at that point.
Who are you? Which girls?
Yeah.
Which one did
you
eat? Oh,
that's clearly Misty.
Clearly.
Yeah, you could spot her from a mile away with that hair.
Lottie kind of turns around and sees all the reporters and everything, and she just screams at him.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
That's how you get them off your back.
Ah!
I'll answer all your questions right now. But Lottie's dad's a dick. We already know
100%.
That. His first response to the psychiatrist is, can you fix her? As if she's broken, right? Not good language to use.
Yeah.
So they drug her up and they commit her to a hospital.
They do electroshock therapy, this poor girl.
Television's not done a good job of explaining what electroshock therapy is. It's actually can be beneficial to many people. But ever since, what's the movie with Jack Nicholson based on the Ken Kesey book? That's great. Like
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes. Ever since One Flew, everybody's been like, that's a terrible thing. Mm. But they start doing the TV version, which is very not cool.
Yeah. Here, bite down on this.
Well nigh on a lobotomy. Yeah.
Well, and the reason they're doing this is because they came home and they're describing what Lottie is doing after being rescued. She's not talking. She's walking around aimlessly in the house at night. Mm-hmm. And then I think was she not eating, or am I making that up?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And so that's why they're seeking out this treatment. And the dad's like, can you fix her?
Yeah, fix her. She's freaking me out.
Just fix her.
She's a real bummer. Can you do something?
She's really harsh in the vibe. She's actually, I'm kind of bummed she's back.
She's a real Debbie Downer. Can we shock her? And
I'm supposed to be watching the Survivor season 3 finale right now. I don't know who's going to leave the island because why? I'm here on this bullshit.
And she keeps telling me.
Oh, sorry.
She knows
is that hard to bring up Survivor? Is that weird for you?
Why he's just screaming at him?
Snowflakes.
Kids these days, I swear.
Reagan. And, you know, during the electroshock.
Lottie, let me ask you a question. Ronald Reagan, best president or greatest president ever?
She never answers. But during the electroshock, she gets memories of her vision during the baptism. Like that scene where she was lighting candles and shit when Laura Lee was baptizing her.
I think it wasn't it when she was in that concrete tunnel, saw the deer and then went up steps. And yeah, there was
the fire, the candle with the really big flame.
Yeah. It was like an altar of some kind.
Yeah. The altar. Good word.
Yeah.
Good word. And then we cut to Lottie in the hospital later on. And she seems to have like bought into it. She puts her hand on the chest of a nearby patient that's struggling with anxiety, we'll say, and seems to be trying to heal her with that motion. That's important for later.
They healed me. They can heal you.
That's right.
Yeah. The patient is yelling at the voices in her head to shut up.
Which is fair.
And Lottie's like, they can help.
That's the same thing I told the reporters. And we cut back to 2021 and we see Lottie as an adult for the very first time. She's speaking to people all garbed in purple.
And that actress is Simone Shute. Hold on.
Simone Shute is a good name. No.
Simone Shute.
Simone Shute.
If that was my name, that would be my catchphrase.
Simone Cassell, I think is her last name. How do you say her last name?
And you know, I thought it was going to be someone else. Like I remember when at the end of season one, when they announced that Lottie was alive, people got to fan cast for a long time. Did you guys put any thought into that at all when you first heard that?
I didn't.
Because I was thinking
like this has been too recent for me to start thinking about that.
That's true.
Like, I don't see a clear resemblance between Simone and Courtney Eaton, who plays young Lottie. Yeah. But I mean, I think they embody kind of the same energy.
Well, I think it's a good cast. But at the time, it was thinking like, well, they keep bringing back these famous actresses from the 90s, sure, like Christina Ricci and Juliette Lewis and so I thought that would be fun to use Shannon Sossaman from A Knight's Tale, which is also my favorite movie.
Oh,
hell yeah.
And so that was like one of the big ones that I was like obsessed with.
Wait, what's her name? Shannon.
Shannon Sossaman. But it did not work out for me, alas. Though I do love, you know, Simone's, she's doing great. She looks regal. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. Not saying that. Mm-hmm. Just saying what I was thinking at the time. But she's speaking.
Shannon Sossaman does look like a adult. Lottie. I googled
who she was and I didn't get the right person.
Shannon Sossaman. She hasn't been in in a long time.
Wait. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Steve is showing me his whole iPad. I love it.
Okay.
Weird flex, Steve. We get it. You have an iPad.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
His whole ass iPad.
That wasn't an ad at you. I'm sorry. You just picked
did
it
you
up.
Just headbutt the mic?
I did. My hat did.
Bonk.
Madison, don't get hot.
I'm sorry.
But she's a patient, though, at this time that she's speaking to the purple people, right? Or is that her cult?
I thought she was cult leading.
I think it's her cult.
Well, in the trailer, the only reason I say that is because like the advance news of the season two stuff, they had talked about how she was committed to a place in Sweden or something like that. So I thought that's maybe what this is, but this might be her cult.
I think maybe she's like hiding as a maybe an outpatient like person, like she like people go there to get healed, quote unquote, but she's actually indoctrinating them into her cult.
And then we cut back again to 1998 briefly. This is when she screams at the reporters and we get the title with that banger ass song that we all know and love, No Return.
And they use new footage in the intro.
Yeah.
I didn't even peep that.
Oh, really? Yeah. I assume
did you
it's,
skip it? Did you skip
no,
it?
No, I always jam, but I was like, okay. I was writing.
Okay.
I write notes during this thing.
You said Lottie screams and then you missed the whole intro.
No, I was trying to like come up with names for the Yameeners, the favorite moments, all that stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing matters, you guys. We're the ones making ourselves sick.
Don't accuse me of skipping titles.
I only said that because I knew it would offend you because you're so like adamant about never skipping titles.
I'm offended. I'm trying to recover myself right now so we can continue the show.
Okay.
It does unnerve me when I'm watching a show with someone else and they like automatically go to skip the titles. What are you doing?
Well,
are we not going to get into the vibe right now?
You don't skip the Stranger Things theme song, right?
Nothing.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say? Madison, what were you going to say?
I was going to say,
what were you going to say?
Satan, listen, I watch the intro of the first episode. And then if I'm binging it, I will skip the intro sometimes. I think some people.
I'm just very disappointed.
Well, sorry, Satan.
I feel like Satan would skip. Like, you should skip it. You know that.
Oh, hell no. People worked on that title.
It's very nice of you, Lucifer.
Yeah, and then I watch it the first episode. No, listen, Satan. I watch it the first episode, and then I've seen it. I have appreciated their work, and now I'll skip it.
All right, look, I'm going to come clean.
What?
I feel terrible right now.
What?
I do skip on a binge sometimes.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to lie.
It's like I don't even know you anymore.
Like,
I thought I had you pegged as someone who could be really cool down here with me, but now I'm going to have to avoid you.
Well, when I'm in hell, you can loop this intro over and over and over.
It's a fire song.
It is.
No. You know what it'll be if you're in hell. Hail.
Hail.
You know what the
hell? Hail.
It's going to be. Do it, Steve.
No, don't do it to me.
Show her what's going to be in hell playing over and over and over.
Stay tuned for our episodes later on in the week to get
If you want to know what that means, go to the Twister episode.
We've got all these dope Easter eggs in our own show because we record them for the week backwards.
Yeah, the last show that we record is typically the first one that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to us.
Yeah.
Anyway,
back in 2021, Shauna Sadecki is in the interrogation room, which is her married name. And still SS, though. Just throwing that out there. Mm. Wonder if her middle name is O. That'd be cool.
Oh.
That'd be a cool.
Shauna Olivia.
Yeah, sure. Ophelia.
Mm.
Ooh. Mm. She's in an interrogation room. Misty's training her how to respond to the police. The only thing you should ever say to a lawyer is, I want, or a police officer, is, I want my lawyer.
If you say, I want my lawyer to your lawyer, that would be confusing for them. For sure.
You would be a Lottie. and she's like, that's why I made you this. I want my lawyer cookie.
Yeah. Says it on the cookie.
Which, I love that.
When she's grilling Shauna, she's saying things like, how was the sex? Was it hot? And like, it's like they would never ask that.
It's like, oh, it couldn't get it up. Is that why you murdered him? Yeah. Couldn't get it up.
What's your social security number?
But Misty's super paranoid. She thinks that she missed something. She's starting to overthink things about getting rid of the evidence for murdering Adam. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, and she starts asking her, hey, you threw away the journals, right? Like, you didn't keep anything of his, right? And at first she says, well, you hesitated. And then she's like, well, you answered that one too fast, right? So Shauna's like, I got this. It's no big deal. Even though she definitely didn't destroy the journals.
She does not, in fact, got this.
No. Turns out.
No.
We cut to Thaisa at the pound looking for a new dog. Because remember, she decapitated Biscuit. She doesn't recall that yet.
She said that with such stank.
Yeah.
Because she decapitated Biscuit.
That's like the worst thing we've seen in this show so far. It's the worst crime.
That's true. And then she did some night digging.
She did. The dog lady is a supporter of hers. I voted for yours.
Phone banked for her.
And she's like,
even.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Yeah, true.
Phone banking is awkward.
And she's
don't know what that is.
It's like cold calling and like, vote for blah, 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 for free.
Have you decided who you're going to vote for the Senate race this year?
I see.
Oh, well, let me tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah, I hang up on those people.
Yeah, you've never gotten to that part of the convo, but that's what they start to say eventually. I only know that from movies. They don't even call me.
No, they don't call me either.
It's okay.
Well, they call me.
You should get them to call you and then just like try to talk to them.
You should talk to them as Bernie.
I appreciate it.
Hello, this is Bernie Sanders. Yes, I am going to vote, obviously, for the Republican. Three for a loop there. Huh? Just kidding. That's a classic Bernie joke. Feel the burn.
I'm just sitting in my fold-out chair right now.
With my mittens.
And my mask. That's what I do all day.
I'm really upset.
You think it's a meme? It's actually a new picture of me every day. That's all I do.
No, I'm going to hang up now because I just made a pretty good soup. It's cheddar and broccoli. I splurged.
And a quiche.
Madison, what was your... didn't you discover you can do a Bernie?
Oh, man. I was doing it during that.
I want to hear
but
you.
Yeah.
If you need me to just cue you up with some Bernie.
Yeah.
Hot Bernie action.
I'm sitting in a chair. I'm really trying to do the Bernie, but it's not working.
You just got to let it go.
You just got to let it go.
You got to lean into it.
Hot Bernie action.
I find that this sentence helps me deliver it. I've got 99% of the dick in the room.
Okay, let me try. I've got, wait, no.
Got a little Australian there.
A little Australian there, mate.
Cold.
Australian, mate.
That's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut.
Nobody.
It'll seep in
it
and
just
out.
Randomly.
It'll just.
Will it? Hell yeah, Bernie.
Bernie and I are close.
Yes. Madison phone banked for me. That's how tight we are.
Any day, anytime, Bernie.
So anyway, Shauna, she's in the, okay, where was I at?
Shauna is trying to nostalgia. Leave and Misty won't let her.
Tice is at the pound. She finds the new dog. That's right. And then she's driving home with the biscuit replacement, whose name is Steve.
We like Steve.
Steve, you were unrecognizable in that role. Incredible job.
So good.
Well, you know, I'm surrounded by two dogs daily, so I really kind of pulled them.
You went method, actually.
I went full terrier. Yeah. Some people say you never go full terrier, but I did.
You did.
I was sniffing butts all day.
Oscar worthy, honestly. Emmy worthy, excuse me.
Never go full terrier. And then we cut to Misty, who is it's sent lots of unanswered calls to Thaisa and Natalie and a bird pet store, I think, if you looked at the context there.
Ooh, which was really something was really cool. And I don't know if you guys caught this, but the detail of her background image on her phone is Caligula. But the
Caligula! Caligula!
But the eye is the camera app. Like the eyeball is the camera lens. And I thought that was such a cool hint, like play into her attention to detail. And the people that designed that were awesome. That was so
great.
Cool.
Great catch again, Madison. Holy shit. And then she logs into her citizen detective account.
On Reddit?
Which is basically Reddit, yeah. Or it is Reddit.
Yeah.
I thought she was on like the citizen detective subreddit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then she's reading through all the evidence that they're finding on the Adam disappearance. And basically someone who's on the absolute right track looking for the girlfriend, I think is what he said. And she just downvotes it and slams her computer.
doesn't the guy like read it like a telegram at first?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Stop.
Attention, stop.
And then she even calls out like, quit with this bit. And then he says in the thing, I'm going to stop with the telegram bit.
Yeah. She's like, That's what I was just saying.
And I just love how she just furiously downvotes it. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's grasping at straws.
But it's cool because I was trying to interpret that scene. Is she upset that, you know, it's her own
group?
Well, no, is it her worry for Shauna, like getting found it out? Or is it, oh shit, I didn't like hide enough of the evidence, so the evidence isn't.
I do think she takes it personally, like that was her responsibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She excels at this and she takes it as a point of personal pride more than she's worried about her friend or anything. I think you're right in that.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And cause she would thrive in prison. I don't think she's worried about that at all. She'd have to worry about Caligula. That's it. If you're going to do it, you got to be quick, buddy.
Caligula!
And then Callie, we cut to Callie. She's watching some dumbass TV with dumbass Kyle. And she tells Kyle, it's just my impression of you know, it's what I think is going on.
It is dumbass TV.
And Kyle?
Dumbass.
Mm-hmm. And then she tells Kyle to leave, as she should. And
she should. And then, don't be clingy. I have to study for bio.
And then Callie talks about breaking up with Kyle and talks to Shauna. And gives her shit about Adam and says, hey, dad deserves to know. And then she says, well, I told your dad. And she's like, how could you do that to him?
You're so selfish.
And Shauna's like, I can't win.
I don't get it.
Callie continues to suck.
Back in 1996, which, by the way, it's been 2 months since the events that we saw in season one. Yeah. Shauna is with Jackie's frozen body.
I loved that reveal.
Which is basically just their meal out in the freezer, right? You got them in the deep freeze.
Because we saw this new area that we had never been in before. And they're using the plane door as like the door for the meat shed.
Yeah, like a shack.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be
the meat shack.
That's going to be their meat shed.
Meat shack.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on down to the meat shack. We got prime cuts. We've got Jackie.
Fly on in to the meat shack.
Fly on in.
Weird plane theme we've got.
Yeah.
Who cares? We eat people.
We call our hostess stewardesses.
Taste is. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought, so the The yeah. Julius Caesar Shakespeare thing. What was lend an ear and
lend me your ears,
which I thought was kind of a double play because obviously, you know, the end, but also Shauna is talking to, you know, Jackie is lending her ear for Shauna to talk to her.
Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah.
And there might even be a third meaning. I'm not sure yet. Probably not. But like the fact that that scene in the play takes place at the funeral of somebody they killed. I thought might have something to do with that too. Oh, but probably because sure.
Shauna feels probably very guilty about Jackie's death and feels she at does. Fault.
Yeah.
Hence actually, the hallucinations.
In my notes, even though it was snowy, I still wrote when the scene first started, I still wrote Shauna flashback with Jackie question mark. Like it's winter, why is she talking?
I saw on Twitter somebody called it the Jackie jump scare.
Yeah.
And I identified that's what with that completely.
Literally, I said Shauna's actually talking to Jackie's dead body, and I put in quotes jump scare.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a dead body.
Ah. It's a baby.
That was very effective because they have this scene going on where she's like talking about they're playing that game like, okay, you're going to be living in an apartment in New Jersey as a stay-at-home mom with $1 million and marry Jeff. And Shauna's upset because she's basically going to be her mom. And she's like, your mom doesn't have $1 million. But then jump cut to dead body Jackie. Very effective.
Super frozen, crazy looking. Yeah. So you get to kind of re-experience that shock of the finale again. And then we see Thaisa playing like the paper football stuff with Van, which is a clutch high school maneuver when you're bored.
Oh, yeah.
And there's marks on Van's wrist from the rope. And that makes Thaisa feel guilty. And she's like, I'm willing, you know, we tie me up anyway. What's the difference?
Van's like, it's worth it. I'm maybe falling in love with Van.
Their relationship is very compelling.
Yeah.
And then
I want to know what happens. I love. And they seem so good together.
I know.
Well, I think the whole reason that we have them fighting, like Simone, sorry, I said them, but I had in reference to the fight between Simone and Thaisa, I think paves the way to kind of reunite Van and Thaisa as adults, which might be, some juicy plot details later on. But then they say, where is Shauna with the meat? And since we know there's cannibal stuff and we know that she's out there with Jackie, I think that's a funny line. And then somebody was like, she's probably out there with dead ass Jackie.
It's Mari.
Even in Jackie's death, they're like, fuck her.
Yeah, they're still throwing shade for at sure. Poor Jackie.
Old jacked up Jackie. I stuttered trying to think of a good insult. Not a good meanie.
Do they introduce like three new girls in the scene?
Yeah.
Hey, who the fuck is Crystal?
They definitely introduce
and
Crystal.
Jen.
And is that what her name? I feel like there were two other girls who were talking that I didn't get their names.
There's the three women sitting at the table. The one that is humming is Crystal.
Yeah.
The one that is telling her to shut the fuck up is Jen. And then we don't know the other girls.
These are all just girls that have been here the whole time. But now they get screen time.
Because
Crystal's a theater kid. We would have noticed. Nice try, Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. Way to slip that one by us.
But you guys want to do an improv group? I'm bored, you know.
Let's do Shake Eights together. You guys want to do Shake Eights? Shake Eights? 1, 2, 3, 4. No. but this kind of goes back to, what was it, like episode 2 in the first season where there was that long trail in the woods. Like, there's like 50 people here, but you only are ever hanging out with 10 of them at any given moment.
Well, you said there was, what, 18?
So when flashing back to the episode where they were at their reunion and we looked at that picture of the team, there's 18 team members. For varsity, which I mean, it's just interesting that we haven't seen them, especially in the scene with Jackie coming back into the cabin. We don't see those girls in that scene where they're all lined up and, you know, essentially welcoming Jackie into the afterlife or whatever, where she sees the ghost dude. It's just, I understand what they're doing because I think they've exhausted a lot of the current actors. And so now they need to have these other people to kind of play off for the other characters.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in Lost, like they would start like, oh, I've also been on the beach with you guys for 3 seasons.
Right.
And it's like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. Which maybe if we go back, we could see them maybe. I don't know. I don't know how. I haven't looked into the casting of these people.
I highly doubt they were just randomly got lines in season 2, you know. But I mean, they did put enough like faceless bodies on occasion to where it's like, sure. You know, it's interesting, though. But we get more of a Jackie vision from Shauna's perspective. And she tells the story of to the body of how Jeff and her started hooking up. They ran into the woods from the cops. Was the very first time Shauna kissed Jeff first. Right. And then she has a fight with the dead body and knocks it over. Her fucking ear falls off and she puts it in her pocket. which we later find out is like a snack for later. Oh,
she saw Pulp Fiction.
Funny. That's right.
That whole scene, I was like, I was giggling so hard because Sean was like, shit. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so funny.
She's is cracking.
This, is this where Jackie says it's like Haunting 101?
Yeah.
And then Shauna comes in with the meat and tells him that she has to even further cut back on rations, guys, because they haven't found any successful hunting in a while. Back in 2021, Shauna is in her safe, which has never fared her well, but she put everything back in there. And she kept his fucking wallet and keys. I don't know why. It's terrible. Made me angry.
Crime 101. Get rid of evidence, especially his license.
And why do you need his license?
She's sentimental. I bet she's a Pisces.
That's the I said that too. And then Misty's a Gemini? What are you thinking?
Oh, what's Misty? Definitely a Scorpio.
Really?
Yeah. Scorpios are psychopaths.
Is Lottie a Gemini?
Is Lottie a Gemini?
Andy's a Scorpio.
Andy's a psychopath. He likes heat
bars. Actually, hold on. I think Misty is a Leo. Misty is a
My
Leo.
Daughter's a Leo. I'm a Leo. Miss Steve.
Yes.
Okay. This makes sense.
Yes.
I'm on board for this.
Yeah. Misty is a Leo.
What do you think I am?
I feel like I'm going to get so much mixed reviews from this conversation.
Oh, please. Everybody write in what you think of those horoscopes. And I am here for this conversation so hard.
What do I think you are?
Yeah. Do me.
Are you a Capricorn?
I'm not.
Are you an air sign?
I don't know. I think I'm Earth. I'm a Virgo.
Okay. I'm not too familiar with Virgos.
I'm a Virgo. Well, now you are.
Now I am.
Like a Virgo.
Touch for the very first time.
Maybe that can be a whole segment where we talk about the I'm astrological signs.
Even though I'm ignorant of how to do it.
I think Misty's a Leo. And you asked me about Lottie.
Lottie would be Gemini, right?
I think Lottie could be a Gemini. Or Thaisa, honestly. Because it's the two-faced thing.
Oh, yeah. She's out two-faced. At night eating dirt like Geminis do.
Yeah.
Geminis do be doing that.
Maybe.
Night digging.
Maybe Lottie is a Aries.
Do you know... There's some keyboards clacking right now.
I know. I honestly want to say I don't know a whole lot about astrology. I'm just going off of my feelings. But if you have more further evidence, please tell me your input.
I once made a TikTok video about the astrology sign of every House of the Dragon character. And I didn't do that. I don't know enough about it. I just pulled it from what people on the internet thought. And I ran some of it by my wife, who's a big astrology fan. And that video, so many angry comments and stuff.
Be gentle with me. I'm sorry.
But Jeff answers like a cornball. He's doing his best Ellie impersonation. He's full of all these puns.
He is. He watched Last of Us this Sunday.
He did. He was hyped for it. And she's worried. She's like, this is the key to his studio. I don't know what's in there. She's worried probably that there's art depicting her, right?
I was so confused when he answered the phone. I was like, chicken nugget department.
Me too.
It's because I'm selling six pieces right and left. Like, you're stretching, my guy. You're stretching.
Chicken nugget department. I see how you get so much ass, though, you know?
Honestly, yeah.
Save some pussy for the rest of us, Jeff, with those jokes. Thais is picking up Sammy from school, but she's not allowed to. Simone panics. Sends him packing.
I thought that Thaisa was going to try to, like, look, I found Biscuit.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was happening at
smaller,
first.
He's smaller.
See, Biscuit's alive. See, he's Biscuit. Happy. He answers to Steve, but then we'll work on that.
The baby. Stop.
But then she tells her about the thing, right? I've found your thing in the cellar. Right. And she's like, how'd you find that? Wait, what are we talking about?
Found your biscuit box.
Ty has no clue what she's talking about.
And then she tells her to step down from the Senate, which she had just won, or she's going to the press, and she storms off back in 1996.
Ty looks more upset about that than not seeing Sandwich.
That could be true. Mm-hmm. Little Sandwich. That could be true. That's a good take.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Every 5 years, I look back and I'm like, I don't even know that guy. I don't like that guy. My values have changed completely.
And that's a good thing. That means I'm growing as a person. You know, I learn new things about myself all the time when I look back, and things that used to be okay with me no longer are. I maybe want something completely different out of life. And therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you're at right now. And that can be a tough thing to find. I work in the mental health field, have for many years. And even then, looking for a therapist can be an exhausting process, especially dealing with all the ins and outs of insurance. And eventually you're just like, I just won't worry about it, right? But what BetterHelp does is it connects you online. It's all entirely online. You can shop through different therapists to try to meet your needs. And then you can switch therapists rather easily if you're not jiving with the one that you've got. And I personally have, this is me getting real for a second. I've been trying to talk myself into securing a therapist for myself for a long time, like multiple years. I still to this day have not done it. I have no personal experience with therapy, except maybe you could call it group therapy with the 12-step stuff that I do. But I've got like severe anxiety, all kinds of shit going on. And I know that I need a therapist. And so I really like this sponsor, just connecting people easily right where they're at, right in their home, with something that they probably desperately need. But back in 96, the Winter Hunt gang continues. And Travis is basically just looking for Javi. He's not even hunting, right? And again, it's been 2 months that Javi's been missing in this winter wilderness. He sees a dead fox, but he hallucinates that it's Javi, right? Now, we could surmise throughout all of this, the Shauna stuff, somewhat Lottie stuff, but she's got other things going on, which is why she's kind of above everything. But Travis, and so it's like they're either all losing it slowly because of the trauma and lack of nourishment and stuff. But I really think there's something supernatural going on with these visions. It's part of the spirit of the wilderness there, right? That's showing them this stuff, fucking with them.
Absolutely, especially with what we see Travis go through towards the end of the episode.
Very true. Back in 2021, Misty's looking for Natalie at the motel, but Larry Frankowski, the desk attendant, won't give anything, right?
I love this dude.
He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about or who that is. And so Misty threatens him.
I just love how she's like, are you the manager? She's like, no, we're working over the safe. My partner's back there cracking the code so we can steal the Baroness's jewels. Like, can you check to what happened, my friend? Sure.
Like, I kind of hate him. Like, I kind of want to hang out with him.
I want to hang out with him so much.
Yeah. Like maybe a D&D campaign or something. He's quick on his feet with the stuff for sure.
Yeah, he is. He should do improv.
But she tells him that she knows his address and his full name, his social security number. He doesn't give a hot fuck. He strikes me as the kind of man with the 520 credit score and has no fear. And he's like, we don't have TV. We don't have Wi-Fi. We don't have shit. What we do have is discretion. That's the one thing we got.
No Wi-Fi, just discretion.
And then she threatens to wait. I got 2 days off and a sweet ass book.
And a large bladder.
Yeah. Abnormally large bladder. And then finally he's like, all right, she took off. Right. So that kind of hurts Misty's feelings. She's like, that was her worst fears confirmed. Right. Best friend, my ass. And it we cut to Shauna and Jeff, who have entered Adam's studio, which is stupid as fuck.
And it's because it smells like chronic. It
smells like chronic in here.
I love how Jeff says that. And Shauna's like, what?
Chronic?
What did you just say?
That's such a Jeff thing.
It doesn't smell like this in the chicken nugget department. I'll tell you that.
What was the art major joke that he made?
Oh, he how do you get an art major off the front porch? You pay for the pizza. He was so fucking proud of that zinger. He was like, I should take this act on the road.
Well, part of him was like, this dude banged my wife.
I think that's his coping mechanism is making these awful jokes,
which I get.
Yeah. But there's paintings and drawings, many of them erotic, of Shauna all over the walls. Her worst fears confirmed. And he's getting pretty upset, obviously, about this, right?
What are we thinking? Adam, little too clingy?
Clingy? For sure.
A little obsessed?
A little obsessed.
Mm. Yeah.
Why are you so obsessed?
I'm actually disappointed that it didn't end up. Do you want to keep going before I can?
With Shauna.
I'm actually a little upset that it didn't end up being Javi, because that made so much narrative sense. Mm-hmm. And they thought it was a little like too clean and weird, I guess.
I mean, but I guess there's still I mean, the writers have come out and said that Adam is not Javi, but they could have also been bullshitting. That was a year ago, so I don't know.
They could have, but that seems cheap to just straight lie if somebody's...
But I also...
It's better just to ignore the question.
I was thinking about it because after our recap and after we had that conversation on Adam's innocence, I'm like, I still don't think he's as innocent as he is currently. I still think that there is something...
There's got to be something else.
Because why... I feel like they wouldn't paint Shauna that bad. You know what I mean?
But you know what?
But his paintings were pretty good, Madison.
Do you know what gave me?
Nice.
You know what gave me pause, though? She said when Shauna was saying, I know where the studio is, she's like, it's right by the name of the hotel, whatever it's called. The Hilton, whatever. It's not what the name is.
The ladder. It was something with an L.
It's a goofy name.
Yeah.
And he's like, so his studio really is right next to that hotel.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, are they saying he really did just happen to wander in there?
Just went to that bar.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's like a not that good a writing to me.
But again, I'm still kind of on this Cali mindset of like, he has no social media. If he's an artist, why the hell isn't his art anywhere?
He's not trying to sell it. That's just for him.
I guess.
Some people have SportsCenter. Some people have Shauna's paintings.
I guess.
We all cope in our own ways.
Dude, those paintings, there were a lot of them. They were very good. And like he must have spent most of his free time doing that in the there was a lot. There's a lot going on. You can't just whip those things up in a day.
Well, I don't know. Also, she said she didn't post for them. So those are just
from memory. Mm-hmm. Or are they? Was he watching? She set up an easel outside her window.
Did he give her an owl humidifier that had a camera in it?
You're voyeuring me.
I don't know. I think if he isn't innocent, we will definitely find out this season. But I don't know. I don't.
I would feel let down if he was just completely an innocent bystander and wasn't being shady, because they set it up so much that there's something to him.
I think it was all a red herring.
I would be a little upset about that.
That's what I'm saying.
But he also, you know, he looked her up. He had those magazines, mm-hmm. which, you know, I guess is just curiosity.
He was just curious.
But at the same time.
And she cut him. She cut a motherfucker.
She stabbed a motherfucker.
Stuck him like a pig.
But then he gets pretty sad about all
like
the
a pig.
Like a pig.
Okay.
Like a sweet little piggy. Mm-hmm. I love it when you don't know what to do with the joke I make. You just laugh at me. You're like,
My brain just immediately went to. Diane said we ain't got to worry about money no more. So that's good. One less thing.
One less thing. I know what love is.
Those look like some comfortable shoes. I bet you could go run all day in shoes like that and not feel a thing.
That's a really good Forrest Gump, man.
It is good.
Thank you.
I'm honestly like really impressed.
I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is.
Jenny.
And so does Jeff and Shauna in the studio.
So then I think she manipulates him. He gets sad about all the naked photos and she says, you know, it turned me on thinking about you with another woman. I mean, it made me mad, but it turned me on. And then they have extremely rough sex because apparently Jeff not turned on by being cuckolded, mm-hmm. which is fair. I get it. However, do you think she's really into cuckwean? Is that what they call that? Do you think she's really into that? Or if she was fully manipulating
him? It seemed like she was into it. I don't know, but I burst into cheers after when I saw that. I was like, yes, finally. They're like, I don't know, because I feel like there's this also moment too. She doesn't have to not be her full self at this point. He knows mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
So now it's like she can embrace this savagery, weird sense of herself and, you know, is able to express that in their sexual life. And I thought, this is great.
Let people fuck.
Yeah.
Sex positive moment.
Even, I did think it was weird that Jeff at one point locks eyes with Meatball Face. That weird painting of the Meatball Face guy. And that's what he seems to focus in on when they're having sex.
Well, I think it was Shauna's face dismorphed.
It was.
Oh, was it?
I think it was Adam's interpretation of like this underneath. Well, because he said that there's things that she's not telling him. I interpreted that as her like undertone
He is secrets. An art major.
Yeah, that was some like art house stuff of Shauna. But yeah, it's a horror show. So he's got to, when he's fitting a bust, focus on something creepy.
That's what you do in horror shows.
That's true.
Oh boy, I'm fitting a bust.
I like the picture.
Got to find something creepy to look at.
Oh boy. I think wait. He thought it was a football, and since he's used to jerking off to SportsCenter,
like, that's. I mean, if I squint, it kind of looks like John Madden.
If I squint, it looks like John Madden. But yeah, he takes it, and then,
and yes to that one listener, we know he doesn't actually jerk off to SportsCenter.
Yeah, we got an email. I don't think he really jerks off to SportsCenter. I think he jerks off and then watches it. Hey, your headcanon's your headcanon, buddy.
Hey, man.
Thanks for clarifying.
I only know from experience.
Step one, watch my sports. Step two, make a sport of my own. My dick.
What'd you say, Tommy Sticks?
Let's play Tommy Sticks.
But back in 96, young Shauna's playing with the thawing ear, and then dinner time, right? And they catch Misty stirring the fucking pot, literally the stew. And they're like, what are you doing? Because she's still not allowed to be near the food. And
what
now
are you doing
everybody's here? Everybody's shitting on her. And then they tell her to go get the water, which is out there in the cold. That's a shitty job. She's like, nah.
I do water, like, all the time.
I've been doing this all the time. They're like, well. Yeah, you shouldn't have fucking drugged us all.
Yeah, you suck. So go get it.
Javi's missing. So he's probably very cold. Super cold. To you drugging everybody.
That's true. They didn't. Nobody's. There's no plot about Misty being in trouble for missing Javi. Mm-hmm. Back in 21, Angry Jeff, after he's got that post nut clarity, right? He's mad again.
That come to Jesus moment.
Oh no. Sacrilegious. And then they find some turpentine and they start to just kind of smudge out the faces, which is better than what I thought they were going to do, which was set the whole studio on fire.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that too. Like, how's like, that helpful?
That's insanely obvious that he was murdered. Yes. Like 100%.
Yes. But no, I was like, oh, okay. And then back in 96, Crystal is singing again.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
I just remembered this. But when they were talking about Adam's missing, they were saying the last time that his parents saw him was Texas. Did you guys hear that?
No. Who said that?
The news. When
all the news stories said that?
Yeah. And I thought Texas. I thought that was interesting.
That's a long way from New Jersey.
I know.
Jersey.
Interesting.
I think you're
there
right.
There is more to Adam.
I feel like Adam at one point mentioned he was from Texas last season. I don't know that for sure, but I feel that was what
well, feelings aren't facts, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% true. I'm all about reels, not feels. All right.
Back in 96, Crystal is singing again. And I put whoever that is. And then Misty tells her to shut the fuck up, which is so unlike Misty, but she's getting fed up with all this shit.
She's tired of water duty.
And then I wrote Grease the Skids. I don't recall why, but I think it's, oh, the Crystal sings when she's got a shit, right? That's what helps her grease the skids, I believe.
What?
Was that it?
Did I make all that up?
I think so.
No, I did not.
I thought she was singing just because she had an earworm and had to get it out.
She said grease the skids. I wouldn't just write that.
Do you guys know what she was singing?
No.
Glory of Love.
Glory of Love or something. I tried to look it up.
I'm pretty sure she was just singing it because she had it stuck in her head. I don't think she was singing it because she had to poop.
Look, man, you ever had to grease the skids? Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
I mean,
tell it to my face.
There's moments where, yeah, but do I need to sing?
Hold on. I got an article pulled up on Nerdist.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, so yeah, she's singing the Glory of Love, Crystal, which is from the movie Beaches. So she obviously loves that movie.
Yes.
This is.
I'm pretty. I don't.
Here we go. Here we go.
Trying so hard.
I got it. Though we don't know too much about her yet, we learn she really likes to hum, sing, and dance, and she shares Misty's proclivities for singing to help grease the skids. Ha! Because remember, Misty was singing to help the coach take a shit before the bear, after the bear down scene. She started singing, and then the scene cut. So that's how they bond. They bond over singing while they shit. Well, both of you owe me an apology.
Do you think that this is where Misty discovers her love for show tunes? Through Crystal?
Maybe.
Or maybe that's just further characterization, because she was already greasing skids long before she met Crystal, right? Like, hey, random chick who's been in this very small space for me for a long time. I didn't know we had so much in common.
Who are you?
Natalie failed again. That's what she says. She comes back with no meat. But she is helping to map the wilderness that they're in, which I thought was interesting, with the coach Scott there. Did you guys happen to zoom in or pause or look around on that map or anything for anything interesting? Because I did not. I just kept it a moving. I greased my skids and kept watching.
I saw like a very awful picture of a plane, drawing of a plane. I'm like, you guys, who brought their homework with them?
How do you do it?
How much paper you got?
I know. Because like, the back of that said like 12th grade final or something like
homework,
that.
Homework, yeah.
The coach points out he's that Javi's probably dead. And Natalie's like, duh.
LOL.
And then back in 2021, adult Misty is in Natalie's old room. She's looking around crying, you know, and then right as she gives up and says, I knew I didn't have any friends, she sees the repaired door jam because she's got an eagle eye. She got that from Caligula.
Caligula.
She sees that there's a security camera outside. It's like, more info to be gleaned there. Natalie is shackled to a bed screaming in the next scene. A young woman brings her food. She's wearing that rune pendant. And Natalie's pissed, right? Obviously. This sucks.
P-I-S-T.
We cut to Jeff in the car thinking of all the paintings and the rough cuckold king sex that he had. No shame there. And he's listening to Papa Roach like you do when you're caught in your feels.
Cut my life and don't be
that's
dead.
Such a Jeff thing to do.
It was so good.
He loved it. Moshing, man. Yeah, he was going to town.
That was a great scene.
Have you guys ever done that in your car where you just fucking
specifically to Papa Roach?
Yes.
Well, yes, specifically Papa Roach. Yes. And then also, if not, what too?
All kinds of things, but I've done the Papa Roach thing.
Definitely Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hot chocolate hot dog flavored water. It's the name of the album. Rolling.
Anybody? Yeah, Papa Roach is a great one to do that too.
He's doing his own, like, you know, tonight will be the night that I will die for you. You know, but it's Papa Roach, even better. Thaïs is in the basement. Smelling Simone's old clothes, right? Doing sad ass divorce shit.
Did you skip over the grill scene?
Oh, I did.
Wow.
That's one of the best scenes in this whole episode.
Look, buddy, some of us can't read straight all the time. First, Madison, what did you want? I didn't mean it like that. I meant like, what did you have?
What do I want?
What the fuck do you want?
That's what I want.
No, what did you have?
Pop off queen.
No, let's talk about, it's something to do with Ty in the basement. Okay. So we can talk about this.
So Shauna's burning the wallet and the journals in the grill, right? And Jeff comes out to quote unquote help. He's like, hey, I brought some Frank and beans, you know, to cover up the fact that we're using the grill in November.
And she's like, why are you sweaty?
Yeah, I love, why are you sweaty?
I was watching Sports Center.
Papa Roach got me.
There's a new 30 for 30 on. It was great.
And then they catch the fucking tree on fire after using a mountain of lighter fluid or whatever.
It's like they were doing so well as like the Bonnie and Clyde, you know, tampering with the evidence and then, you know, going to burn the license. And then they're just like, oh, fuck, I burnt the tree, you know?
They're terrible criminals. Why didn't they call Misty?
Right.
I'm so upset. Misty would have been less lonely and she would have done it better.
Well, Misty might have been very upset that they withheld this information from her.
She would have forgiven them instantly.
You're right.
She'd have called her and like, I'm so sorry. I still have the journals. I have the license and I'm worried about the studio. I do have a key for though. Maybe there's pictures of me. Misty would have. Now, the show wouldn't exist because there'd be no conflict, but she would have got done.
And she also would have made a cookie cake that spelled out what she was going to do for them.
Yeah. Don't lie to me again or I'll kill you, cookie cake. Then
I have your daughter's birth certificate.
We cut to Thaïs in the basement smelling Simone's clothes doing sad ass divorce shit.
The clothes says let's get medieval, which I looked that up and it's not like a proper slang, but it means like in like getting medieval means like inciting violence. I'm like, what sweatshirt is this promoting? I just was like, is it from college? It just was weird.
Maybe I thought I pictured it like it was a college team, like the Knights or something like that.
Well,
what college did Ty used to go to?
It would be Simone's college because it's Simone's shirt.
Wow. Maybe they met
because
at college.
Because she said, well, back to the conversation that Shauna and adult Shauna and adult Ty had where Ty talked about like dating a bunch of girls in college. Yeah, I'm sure they met in college, but.
Yeah, she was cleaning up in college.
Yeah. Let's get medieval. I don't know.
Ving Rhames says that in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, where, really?
Yeah, he says, I'm going to go medieval on your ass with a pliers and a blowtorch.
It just means inciting violence. Mm-hmm. And I tried to find a decent like definition or like meaning, and it has no association with school.
Thaisa does have this tendency to get primal, right? Yeah. So I do think it's on purpose that they chose that, but it also, they were like, we could play it off like it's like a team thing.
It could be because Simone is a comp lit professor at a college. So it could be whatever college Simone works at.
There you go.
Maybe. I just looked because it can't be. It's not Thaisa's alma mater because she went to Columbia and that's a lion is their mascot.
Lions were around in medieval times.
Right. But I feel like you wouldn't say, like, let's get medieval lion.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. Jeff, speaking of which, Jeff with more jokes at dinner. He's working on a bun joke and then
he's workshopping it.
And again, Shauna and he are getting along pretty well.
Hold on. Ty finds the crawl space and finds the shrine.
God damn. I'm reading terribly today. I'm glad you guys are here. I love you guys.
We wouldn't let you do it by yourself.
Sad ass divorce shit. Yes. Then she crawls into the hole, finds the shrine.
The biscuit shrine.
Biscuit's head's on it. Then Steve wanders in.
His little legs. He said, deep, 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 deep.
Are you going to cut my head off too?
I'm sorry, but I got worried that you crawled into the space. Is that another dog's head up there?
Ty's like, no, it's not.
Don't worry. I'm going to do so much better with you, right. Steve.
What do you mean you're going to do so much better? Did you have a hand in this? I don't like it.
And then Jeff's making more jokes at dinner. And Shauna is helping him with the bun joke, right? Because he just started the joke with no punchline.
Bun fun.
Callie's like, this is bullshit. I'm a vegetarian. I don't want your pig anus. And or anybody's.
I'm gonna make a veggie burger.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, don't go use the grill. Right. He panics because he doesn't want her to see any of the evidence that they're burning out there. And she gets upset, like, oh, how patriarchal of you or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then he says, maybe old-fashioned dad shit is my love language, which she's like, okay,
good
whatever.
Good cover.
Yeah,
good
for sure. Cover.
What is your all's love languages?
No comment.
If I may ask.
No comment.
I don't know the actual like five languages.
There are five?
It's five like general love languages. But then I think you can go in. There's like subcategories to it.
Yeah, that's all based on a book, a real book called The Five Love Languages.
Oh, I didn't know there was like a number. I thought it was just like my love language is.
Oh.
Caramel. I don't know. Let's see what we got. We got affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. My love language is chaos.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm an affirmer for sure. I'm also definitely a physically touchy guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, you're touching me now.
I am. Is it weird that our feet are touching?
No.
I love you.
I love you.
And you love love.
Do I need to leave?
No.
Okay.
It's okay.
You can watch.
You could be like the
nostalgia. That's my love language.
Voyeuring.
No, mine I think is quality time, words of affirmation, and then a little bit of physical touch, I think, too.
Yeah, I think out of all these, I'm probably more of an acts of service and affirmation person.
Mm. I like doing acts of service.
Yeah.
Like doing something for somebody.
I like physical touch.
Sure, buddy.
I like quality time. I like receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. I also like chaos.
I don't like receiving gifts.
You don't?
No.
Then well, then that
I
is.
I was going to say, that's awkward.
That's really awkward because we just got you a new car. Bring it out. Bring it out. Bring it out.
Ooh, nice. A Fiat 500.
<That's> We literally carried it out.
Yeah, that was the horn you just heard, the beep beep. Oh, my gosh.
Lord knows, I don't know where I'm at in my notes. 1996, Natalie and Travis are at the fire while everyone sleeps.
Some good old fashioned Stone Age TV.
She's going to keep watching the Stone Age TV.
Yeah.
Travis,
favorite shows on.
Travis dodges a kiss at that moment. And Natalie's pissed, right? Like, he's been dead 2 months, man. I want some play. I know we haven't showered in months either because it's really cold outside. Rio, anyone else thinking about that?
Yes, yes. I thought about that.
Tyson Van?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We suck. I was like, this is all cute and all, but what is the plan here, ladies?
I know y'all pinching your nose. I know that's what you're doing down there.
And then he said, I know you think he's dead, right? It's been 2 months. And then Travis starts to have a panic attack. And Lottie does the calming thing that she did really in the future from this scene, but at the hospital.
Yeah.
And then he got a boner, which I'm not sure why at this point.
Yeah, I was a little confused by that as well, because he had just come from having a panic attack and I was curious your guys' thoughts. Was it her having that vision of the stump where the candles were, or was it her projecting that vision onto Travis? You know what I'm talking about?
They'd have to. Well, to have any effect, it would have to be projecting it to Travis, right?
I feel like there's whatever's going on. There's some energy, power, something at this place, and it's being channeled through Lottie, whether she realizes she's doing it or not.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that spoke in tongues already, right?
Yeah. So she's the conduit through which Travis is seeing this, and maybe the energy that also is flowing through her is what gave him the morning wood, the evening wood.
Interesting.
Tell him all.
The chestnuts roasting by an open fire.
Shakti day.
Kalima. That's a. If Lottie does a Kalima, this may be the best show ever. I'm just saying.
She just did it, but instead of ripping the heart out,
no, she literally says him. Kalima.
And then your brother's alive, she says.
Yeah.
And then somebody says, don't give him false hope. I think it's Natalie, right?
Natalie.
What the fuck?
Nat says that.
There's no such thing as false hope, it's just hope. And then I have say less because somebody said that and they didn't mean it in that way, but it made me giggle. But I think this means Javi is alive. Lottie's never been wrong yet. So do you guys agree?
I think something's weird happening.
Even though no conceivable.
Well, I think the vision that was had was the stump and the candles around it. And then, I mean, Nat and Travis go to that stump and Natalie notices that there's melted snow around the stump. Mm-hmm. So
is that what they found? Because I know somebody knelt in the, I didn't understand what was going on.
So
I just thought maybe the snow didn't hit around the tree, right?
No, that's why Natalie, that's why Natalie was like, weird.
You know how moss always grows on the north side of a tree, they say? Maybe snow doesn't grow on the side.
Snow grows.
Snow grows?
Yeah. How do you guys think it comes there?
I just go to bed and when I wake up in the morning, snow just sprung out from under the ground.
Why did you become a dwarf?
Because that was bringing it out of the ground.
Jack Frost flying around, blowing the snow.
Something.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
But anyway, to answer your question, I think there's a possibility. I mean,
I think Tommy's alive. Lottie's never wrong.
I don't know in what capacity. I don't know how the fuck he's alive, though. We'll see.
Hey, maybe he's in the tunnels underground that she keeps having visions of with candles and shit.
It's a real tunnel.
Maybe it's like a cabin in the woods type situation.
What if he found all kinds of shit?
Like government,
a whole thing underneath.
Apparatus down there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a geothermal plant. And so it's like heated down there and he's doing fine.
Yeah. He's just eating a bunch of grapes and good shit.
Yeah. The canned food there is actually like still good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's having the life.
Toilets.
He's like, I'm not going back up there. Those people are crazy.
Watching 90s TV. He's down there watching Friends and shit. Yeah. Simpsons. In 2021, Natalie's
watching Twister.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Lucky guy.
He's like, man, Helen Hunt.
What is going on?
I love Helen Hunt.
He's got the same. That's what Travis got, a vision of Helen Hunt. That's what happened. But Natalie's jailer friend returns and she had given her the food and let her, you know, untied one of her hands to let her eat. And then Natalie's like, you scared to tie me back up or whatever? And the jailer's like, no. I ain't no bitch. And she stabs her with a fucking fork, right? I thought it got her in an eye. But
I did too.
I guess she blocked her face.
She put her hand up and it stabbed her in the hand. Because at first when she stabbed her in the eye, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I thought she straight murdered her.
Yeah. But then I saw she just like,
but she tried to like, she, cause he blocked herself, right?
She tried it.
That's wild.
I don't blame her. Yeah. Cause you don't know what these people are going to do to you.
Yeah.
And then she runs, there's some chickens outside. So maybe it's Hawaii and, There's a lot of wild chickens in Hawaii. There's tons.
There were chickens in Oklahoma when we watched. Never mind. Sorry.
It's true.
I won't reference Twister anymore, I promise.
Could just be Oklahoma. And then she sees like a pergola with a bunch of people doing culty things. Some dudes start running after her. Hey. And
hey, get back here.
What do they say?
You're not supposed to be out here.
Hey. Hey. Hey, lady. Run away, make sure to take the bus.
You're forking with the wrong guys.
You're forking with the wrong. Oh my goodness, I love it.
In 1996, Thaisa is kissing Van while she sleeps, and she's being like a little extra rough, right? And Van's like, okay, dude. Until she bites her lip. And then she's like, I can handle it.
Van's into it.
Madison's like, yes.
I'm like, yes.
I'm not scared of you, is what she says. Like, you know, you killed a wolf for me. More wolf stuff, right? And then she writes, I love you, with the blood from her lip on Thais's arm.
I thought she was just writing it like how they used to write messages to each other on their back, like with the skin.
No, it was just her blood. Touch.
It was her blood.
Oh, I think there's something maybe wrong on my TV, because like this part of the like from when Nat broke out to like through the end of the episode, it seemed way darker than it should have been.
Oh,
so like I couldn't tell there was a chicken in that scene. I only could tell because I heard it clucking.
Yeah,
but I didn't see this chicken. So when she was drawing on her, I thought there was just a callback to the like, you know, when they were in the lake drawing.
Honestly,
letters on each other.
That would have been cute too, but the blood. No, she wrote it with
I heart you.
Gross.
With her lip blood.
And blood.
Gross.
Yeah. And then she looked to Ty and was like, are you going to say it back? Are you going to say it back?
Well, then Ty's like, I can't believe that's how you're telling me you love me for the first time.
I know.
And then she's like, so they've never said that before. And then she's leaving her hanging, but then she says, I love you too. And then they have sex. And I wrote, how are they bathing? yes. I'm a piece of shit. But in 2021,
yeah.
Natalie's on the run. They're having like an animal massacre ceremony.
Furry drum circle.
Yeah. Which is reminiscent of stuff from the wilderness, right? They used to wear those like, it all started with the doom coming. Mm-hmm. So that is hilarious. Doom coming. anyhoozle.
Sorry.
There's a naked old man in a hole. And then it's true.
Talk about weird turn on.
Yeah. Sounds like my Friday night.
Again. And then Lottie arrives. Natalie confronts her and hits a man with a stick. And then she says, no, you need to calm down. And why would you calm down? Because I have a message for you from Travis.
Dun, dun, dun.
I bet that will stop Natalie in her tracks.
It just says you were right.
Stop telling me that. Back in 96, Shauna is still pondering that fucking ear. And then Travis and Natalie go out to explore more. And I think that's when they find the snow stump. Is not growing on that side of the tree.
I don't think it's not growing. It's the snow is like...
The snow is growing on the tree.
No. You got
me. I didn't know what she knelt down to discover.
It was the melted snow near the stump.
So somebody had been on the stump?
No, in reminiscence of the candles being lit around the
Fire.
The fire.
So would you say she doesn't know what's there?
No, she just thinks, I don't, because she didn't see the vision. And...
Right.
I guess that scene confirms Travis didn't either, because he would be equally stumped.
Oh,
nice.
Oh my God. You guys are on fire today.
Like the candles.
So, yeah. So to us and to Lottie, I guess now we're the only ones that know why the snow is melted, because there's a seance or something near the stump. There are candles lit.
Bam. The show's lit.
It is lit.
So back in 2021, Callie... goes to investigate the grill because she wasn't quite fooled. And then she finds a piece of Adam's license.
Conveniently, the most important piece survived.
I said, in parentheses, that's dumb.
That was the dumbest thing that happened maybe on this entire show so far.
Yeah.
My eyes rolled so hard, the curvature of the earth changed.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
There's curvature?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you flat earth?
No. And then in 1996, this is what happened. I said, what does Natalie find at the base of the tree? It's the melted snow. Jesus Christ. And then more ear pondering from Shauna. Ooh. And then she takes a bite.
She just
threw the whole thing in her mouth. I'm not sure.
It was like one of the pretzels we were eating during break. She just popped it in there. Yeah. It was crispy because it's cold.
Ooh. Man, it makes me so uncomfortable to think about it.
I can't believe they got to the cannibalism this quickly. I'm here for it, though. I'm here for it.
Yeah, and the first body they eat is like a 2-month-old frozen corpse.
Right? Well, it's frozen.
A Jackie sickle.
That meat's good for like a year, bud.
That's true. Mm. It's in the meat shack.
Exactly.
So do you think then maybe that's the body that they eat from the beginning? The cooker?
I do think Jackie's the first body they eat, but not the last. Not the last.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, let's get on to our choice cuts, our top three. I like that. Favorite moments.
Yeah, that feels right.
Of the episode. Madison, start us off. What's your number three?
I had so many. I have 7 listed here, but I'll just do the 3 that I have at the top. My number 3 is Misty and Shauna doing a mock interrogation of Adam's murder. I thought that was very funny and a good way to introduce, you know, the characters back in. You know, Shauna's still hot on the line for Adam's murder. That's still a topic of conversation. And then, you know, we really haven't had a Shauna and Misty moment until the tail end of last season. And so the fact that we're starting with some of this, and it's really humorous, and they get to play with each other. I really liked that scene. It was really good.
Absolutely. Steve.
My number 3 is the Jeff and Shauna grill out scene. Mm. I just loved how, you know, they think they're criminal masterminds. They've gotten away with it. They're going to burn everything. Jeff had this really great idea to bring the hot dogs out and grill out. And then they just cock it all up by setting the tree on fire. It's just them. It's just the two of them. And them as a couple distilled into one scene is this. And it just made me laugh. I thought it was a very fun scene.
Mm-hmm.
My number 3 is Misty with, I think, Frank or Larry Frankenson, whatever, mm-hmm. at the Mattel guy.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, I love me some Misty, and just the whole, like, she's already got a social security number memorized. She's, before she went to the hotel to even know if Natalie's gone or not, she went ahead and hacked the front desk guy's stuff, you know, just her thoroughness to a T, but her moxie too. She got moxie. See,
she's got that moxie.
Just a fun scene, but also he was awesome. Like you said, he was a fun guy. Mm-hmm. Madison, number 2.
My number 2, when it was revealed that Shauna is talking to Jackie's dead body. I quite literally was not expecting that at all. And so I was equally shocked and sad at the same time. And it was my number 2. I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole show. I just was like, Jackie's dead body is just in this meat shed. And Shauna just goes in there and talks to it. I think that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
That is also my number 2. Mm-hmm. Just the reveal that Jackie was dead was so well done. I didn't see it coming. I thought it was a flashback at first, and it took me by surprise, even though it shouldn't have been, because they established it's winter and they haven't gone through winter yet. It's like, oh, maybe this snowed like a week before or something. Well, they're being awfully candid about Jeff and her hooking up. This is very different. Oh, she's dead. Yeah. It was such a good reveal. There was the Jackie jump scare. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's such a good thing to call it. And yeah, that's my number 2. I liked it a lot.
Great moment. My number 2 is Shauna and Jeff in, you know, doing their cuckold kink sex in the studio. That whole, first off, the revelation that Adam had painted all those pictures and stuff. That was a good creepy vibe, but also mm-hmm. kind of like, oh, but also like, there's a lot of them. I think that I think I read it wrong, but I think it's still, no matter what, I loved it for its complexity, its sex positivity. And it was just a turn that I did not expect at all from that character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just think that was a really clever Stark moment that stood out to me. Madison, you're number one.
My number one is actually your number two, which is Jeff and Shauna getting it on in the studio. I fully like cheered with joy when I watched that. I don't know why. I just was rooting for them the whole time.
You love love.
I do love love. But again, kind of what I alluded to earlier when we were talking about the scene during the scene by scene, it's just like a full circle moment for the relationship. Like Shauna doesn't feel restricted to be her full self. She's able to be completely 100% with Jeff. And I don't know. It was just like they're able to be themselves and have the best sex ever. And I just was like, yeah, spicy.
It's the best around.
Yes.
Nothing's going to keep you
cut
down.
Cut my life into pieces. That's what he does. That's just
that going
move.
Through his head.
Yeah.
During sex. Yeah.
Suffocation. That's his. Everybody's going to have a rhythm.
No breathing. Yeah.
Is that his sex song?
That's like his rhythm.
Some people put on Barry Manilow. Jet puts on Papa Roach.
Yes.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. Some baseboards are getting broken.
Yes. Shauna's paintings are falling off the wall.
Yeah.
That would have been funny if the next thing they were just picking them all up.
They're going to get the police called on for a noise complaint.
And then founded for murder.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we found them at the crime scene. They were just fucking. It's weird.
We found semen everywhere. Was this a sexual case? No.
No.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's a real humdinger.
Steve, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment, I think, was your number three. Which was
Misty with the motel
Misty
guy?
Misty with the motel guy. Yeah. Like I am a huge Misty fan. She is definitely my favorite character. It's solidified at this point. And just his interplay with her was so good. Like he could verbally spar with Misty better than anyone in this show has been able to up until this point. Unfortunately for him, he did not know. He was not prepared to go up against Misty. You know, this guy, I feel like, is the Batman of the show. You give him enough time and prep time, he could defeat Superman. And in this instance, Misty is Superman. All right. And their interplay was great. It was really funny. I always get a chuckle out of what Misty gets into. And just the fact that she, for a moment, thinks that her friend Nat has abandoned her and just left her. Mm-hmm. And how sad she is. And she storms off like, oh, poor Misty. I just want to reach out and hug her and be like, poor girl, you don't need her. You got a big ass bladder. You can do whatever you want.
That's true. Nothing can stop you now.
No. What's your number one, my friend?
Not even a big gulp. My number one is
big gulp thwarted.
I think your guys is number two. It's the Shauna and dead Jackie scene. That was such a clever way to show Shauna's guilt and be like, you know, throw in some body horror and jump us right back into the wildness and stakes of this show. I thought that was just a great turn of events. So that was my number one, which brings us to our honeycombs. Woo-woo. Little Easter eggs that we were able to pull out from the 90s, this and that throughout. Madison, we'll go one each around the room until we run out.
The scene with dead Jackie, they were playing MASH, which is a very, I figured, kind of a 90s, early 2000s thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve.
I think I wrote down the cookie cake that Misty wrote. Like, I feel like I got those type of cookie cakes all the time for birthdays and whatnot in the 90s up through the early 2000s. I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but there was like a cookie factory in the mall that that's you would valid. Go and get these from, you know? And so that's why I wrote it down, because that just seeing that cake just really kind of threw me back into my childhood for a moment. So
yeah,
that's when I threw
it down. They played Garbage. At one point, one of my favorite.
Yeah, number one crush.
Bands. Number one crush.
Yeah.
Love me some Garbage, not going to lie. Shirley MacLaine?
What's your favorite Garbage song?
It's
mine's
tough.
When It Rains.
Yeah.
Happy When It Rains?
Only Happy When It Rains,
I hate to be like, yeah, I think that's probably.
Paranoid? Are you going to go with Paranoid?
One of those two, probably.
Yeah, I'm Only Happy When It Rains is my favorite.
There we
I'm
go.
Only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated.
That's such a sexy voice, too. I think you're this guy, too. We have this thing in common where we love female vocalists when rock bands, right?
Yeah, that's our very thing. Much so, yeah.
You're the one that showed me Metric.
I love Metric.
I mean, I think that's a three-way tie. I mean, I also like
female vocalists in rock bands.
Yes.
We take best friends.
Give me some of that.
We're the big.
I love how our Nux appeared on Chris's cam.
Yeah.
I got a Norman Bates reference.
Yes.
Shauna talking to Dead Jackie. I think Mari says that.
Yeah, Maury's like, she's just Norman Bates out there, something around along those lines.
Yeah,
which is
like
a good
that.
Pull. It's a very sophisticated reference for a teenage.
Yeah, she should have more lines.
Yeah.
She's a cultured film nerd.
Get Maury up there. She's got some good taste in movies if she knows Norman Bates.
Yeah.
Let's see. I wrote down, I think Misty says she made a Hawaiian 5-0 punch, which obviously a reference to Hawaii 5-0.
Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled a Rapunzel reference. That's kind of a
Rapunzel, Rapunzeling down your hair.
I'm counting it. I don't even remember the context, but I'm counting it.
All right.
I remember Rapunzel being said and making note of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have Nora Roberts, Misty in the motel lobby. I feel like Nora Roberts, my mom, huge fan of her, has like so many of her books.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah. But I felt like it was a very, I don't know, whenever someone would reference Nora Roberts, it would always be in relation to like the 90s or something, I feel like. Very famous.
I can
famous
picture
author.
The title, like that giant, like
the lettering. Yeah.
Yeah. The giant font. N with the, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Steve.
Drown by the Smashing Pumpkins played. Mm-hmm. I actually do really like the Smashing Pumpkins, so I geeked out when
Bullet with Butterfly
playing.
Wings.
It's a classic album.
Papa Roach is my last one.
Okay.
I have the Coexist sticker on Adam's studio.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, I wrote that down.
It was a more modern version of the Coexist sticker that I'm sure we're all familiar with that has all the different religious symbols, but
coexisting.
Yeah.
I have there's a Tori Amos song Cornflake Girl plays. Mm-hmm. I think it's the last song.
It's the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a Easter egg, but I forget who's wearing it. I think it's Travis, but he's wearing these very vintage New Balance sneakers in the snow, which I immediately look at those sneakers and I'm like, those are 90s shoes. 100% 90s.
Because you love vintage clothing.
I do love vintage clothing.
And which is unfortunately from when I was a kid.
Yeah, everything you enjoyed.
Yeah, the
as
events
a kid
happening right now in the 96 timeline is before I'm born, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I was 9.
I was -2.
I was only 8.
Wow. Why am I the oldest one on the? What's this bullshit? I'm
maybe
the oldest
7
one on this podcast.
I have an August birthday, so
I have an August birthday too. So yeah, maybe 8 for me too.
But you're a Virgo August and you're a Leo August.
Yeah, I'm a Leo cusp, I guess. Mm. We're so close to be twinning. 27.
So wait, are you? Oh, wait, you're Virgo.
I don't know what my moon is.
So you're late August and you're early August. That's
I'm also kind of late August. I'm a 20th.
Oh, so you are the cusp.
Yeah,
basically.
I am the cusp. that's all. I did. There was one other song I had, Let Us Free, but I didn't get who it was by. I don't remember.
I have 17 by Sharon Van Etten. That's the very beginning song. And then I have Let's Get Medieval. Which it turns out is not any 90s reference. It's just.
It might be a Pulp Fiction reference. That might be where that originated. I have no idea if Ving Rhames in that movie was the first to say that.
I have no idea. I literally found nothing about it.
Get medieval on your ass.
Let's get medieval.
Yeah, I only write the songs down if I like recognize them and know them, which you know if you've listened to our trivia episodes, might not always happen a lot. But this is 90s. It should happen more. It's my jam.
Oh, man. Madison, you should listen to that.
Are you subtitles people? Because
I am.
The subtitles
tell you everything.
They tell me what the name of the song is.
But if I'm like, I don't even know who that is, I just typically don't write it down.
Typically, I don't use subtitles, but when we're watching stuff for the podcast, I do use subtitles because it helps with like, who is that?
It sounds like you need to fix your TV though.
Yeah,
yeah, it does. That? I don't know.
Grow up, Steve.
The Showtime app was being super weird this weekend when I was trying to watch it. Like I kept trying to turn it on and be like, you're watching Showtime and it's over.
Because I watched it before
Andrea?
You.
Huh?
Do I need to call Andrea?
Yeah, you let Andrea know like what's going on, and she'll be like, "We're gonna send you another fucking letter with a noose."
It's because I watched it already, and it was showing the credits.
Yeah, but you've done that before, like this whole time. And it's never like freaked out like that. I had to restart the app like six times.
What were the symbols on the postcard you got? It was a grill, rope, and what was the third thing?
I don't remember. Ugh. The baby.
The baby. It wasn't the baby.
But the three symbols were in relation to the episode.
You're right. It was the Thaisa tying the van, I guess.
Yeah, the grill because they burnt the evidence. And then what was the third?
We have to look. Here, melted snow.
I'm pulling it up right now. It's the grill and lipstick.
Lipstick.
There's what's lipstick, the grill, and like the sex. A knot.
The cuckold sex. I was a stretch with the lipstick there.
You just wanted to say, what were you saying? Calling it
cuckold?
Cuckold? You just wanted to say that again.
Cuckold?
Cuckold.
Yeah, that's when you're turned on by your partner sleeping with someone else.
But now I want to know what the lipstick means. Maybe.
I don't remember anybody getting dolled up or shopping.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's for next episode.
Or a beauty pageant.
I don't know. Maybe it's for next episode. Who knows?
I don't know.
If anybody listening has an idea, please let us know.
Now it's time for our buzzworthy performance.
Buzz.
Steve, let's switch gears. Go to you. Who was your favorite performance of the episode?
You know, I kind of struggled coming up with a good one because everyone's great in this episode, right?
It's hard.
But I feel like in this episode, no one's really stepping up and doing the overly dramatic stuff or the flashy stuff. They're all just being consistently, we're awesome. This is the stuff we're doing and everything's pretty even. So really, I don't think there's really a wrong answer here. But I, of course, went with Christina Ricci because I just got a kick out of all of her scenes the most. And she did cry and I felt real bad for her and I wanted to hug her. And just knowing she gives people cookie cakes just to help them remind them of things. Maybe just I love her to death. Christina Ricci's my choice. Buzz.
Something else to tie on to that. I've noticed. So all last season, Christina Ricci was pregnant filming. Mm-hmm. And I noticed I see more of her like wide shots now. I'm like, it's because she's not pregnant. But my buzz worthy performance was actually Warren Cole, who plays Jeff.
Nice.
He was great.
I felt like this episode in particular, he really went into the dad jokes. I thought his timing was great with, you know, just humor. He was teetering this balance of like loving / supporting his murderous, cheating, cannibalistic wife, but also being your typical furniture salesman. Like, I don't know. His role was definitely heightened in this episode. And I just thought he did a really good performance.
He walks a really good line between playing that goober of a dad.
Yeah.
And just like I'm sure the heartache and jealousy he feels with what Sean is doing. So I think that's a really good choice. I'm actually kind of bummed I didn't pick that.
Yeah, that's a fucking great answer.
Yeah.
Just edit it to where I said that.
Okay. I'll just voice pitch Madison.
My voice over yours.
I'm choosing Nuajez Eastman. I don't know how you pronounce that. The Malaysian actor who plays Crystal, for doing such a good job of acting like she's been there the whole fucking time.
Hey, she's a theater kid, so she knows.
But you're right. It's really hard to pick somebody. I really chose. She's great. But I chose Tawny Cypress. I thought was always consistently good as Thaisa. And she's got a lot going on, again, especially with having to talk to Steve and, you know, she's doing this sad ass divorce shit with the shirt.
Talking to Steve is tough.
It's so fucking hard.
I mean, you guys do it every week. And I don't know how you do it.
Every time we get through a sentence, it's burr, 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 you know? Right.
It's like. Exactly.
He does it in the bedroom. It's so awkward.
I'm like, I'm going to bed.
That's not what I meant at all.
I wanted to make it really depressing.
I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Ooh, I'm eating milk and cookies in bed. I ain't picking up them crumbs.
You're sleeping in that shit.
I'm laying it.
Oh, no.
It hurts. But that's it, guys. If you want to join the conversation, email us at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can always, if you want to support the show and you can financially, go to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe at a variety of tiers. We understand if you can't and there's no pressure at all. We don't want anyone to feel financial pressure. So you can support the show for free by just continuing to listen, share it on social media,
rate us
and review us. Yeah, all that stuff.
On all the channels.
All that stuff.
Appreciate that.
Also, if you really want, if you definitely check out the store and check out that new yellow jacket and t-shirt that we're selling.
The merch is so cool. It's I'm great. So excited I'm
super
for
happy
it.
For it.
Yeah, I'll share it on Instagram and stuff just so everybody can take a peek at what that is if you haven't seen it. But thank you always for listening. We love you. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Sniper Tone here, and I've been instructed by the boys via radio to read you the brand new patrons in the month of March. These are people who have an extra set of mirth in their hearts, and they are truly the last line of defense between Streaming Things and a total economic collapse. So in the Try Before Deny section, I want to thank Luke and Sarah, Conrad and Trey Barrera. In the Marty B VIP section, we're thanking Tamara. Oh, old Tony's going to mispronounce this one, that's for sure. Jir Latanowitz. Oh, I mispronounced that just like I misfire my rifle. Brianna Bernard, we thank you. Elizabeth Palmer, Josh Stitch, and John Ricker. Oh, thank you all so much. In the Chocolate Pudding producer sections, we have Lair Gillis. Maha Axholt, I probably missed that one too. Thank you to Jordan C., Kelly Shartner, Natalie Cleland, Sunny. Oh, it has not been sunny here in quite some time. Thank you to Wayne Yopst. Oh, I think the world has passed Tony by. Tony does not know what that word is. Yopst. Thank you to Shotzi, Brock Burek, Alicia Takahashi, Gabe Quentin Vassa, Teresa Schwimmer, and Rob Westendorf. And last but not least, we have our friends Don't Lie to thank. Those friends are Taj Allah and Melissa Worcester. You know what? Old Tone used to shoot a Worcester back in his day. Or was it a Winchester? I don't know. I'm Sniper Tone. My mind is frail. I got to get back to protecting Kansas City. What? It's already on fire. Oh, Tony, you done it again.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.